was the determining factor of your success as a Christian, how successful would your Christian life be, or is your Christian life?
Complete failure.
Rhetorical. Something for us to ponder. We already know Don's situation. So let's pray for Don. Lay hands on Don. Turn your Bibles to the book of Ephesians. We're going to finish up our discussion. About fugitive faith. We're going to finish up and put an exclamation point on this whole idea of being successful, living in the world, but not being of it. Now, if prayer is a gauge to our success as a fugitive, if prayer is a barometer to our Christianity, if prayer is a barometer of our church, then how successful are we individually, and how successful are we as a church? We're going to discuss prayer this evening as we look at the final piece of the puzzle dealing with fugitive faith, as we learn how to live our life fully for God without allowing the world and Satan and sin to rob and steal our power and our effectiveness and our purpose for being Christians here on this earth. We find this evening, as we look through this section of Scripture, that we have a great adversary. That as you and I are representatives of light, that light, as it infiltrates darkness that's in this world, we wake up the agents of hell that will come against us and resist every godly thing that we do. I think it's important for us this evening to think about and realize the intensity of Satan's desire to absolutely destroy us. And that you and I cannot take that lightly. The Bible certainly doesn't take that lightly. And we see evidence all around us of ruined lives, broken hopes, shattered dreams, of people who once walked with the Lord and now are not. Of people who have been ripped off, lied to, and stolen from by Satan and the world system in order to take everything away from them that God has wrought on the cross for them, except their salvation. To reduce a Christian, a man or woman who has professed faith in Jesus Christ, to the lowest common denominator, and to cause them to live as worldly, hedonistic, selfish people. We need to understand this battle. The battle that rages on, that is behind the scenes, the forces of darkness that are looking to bring us into its control. And you and I will be slaves to that in which we obey. That in which we obey and heed and listen to and follow is what we are a slave to. The Bible says if we sin, we're a slave to sin. And so let's look through this section of Scripture, Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 10. We're going to review through some of the sections we've gone through until we get to verse 18. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So that's how the Bible sees our life in this world. To minimize or downplay the assault of Satan is to be blinded to the realities of what is actually taking place and is to have already lost. But see, the intensity of the battle is not such that God hasn't given us the weapons and the power and all that we need in order to deal with that intensity. But you see here, the emphasis on a wholehearted approach to our life in Christ. It's a wholehearted exertion of the power of God, of the weapons of God, of our life in God. You see, the failure to exert all that God has given us, the taking of our Christianity in such a way where it's not all of us, where we're not all in, all involved, doing all we can to stand, is to fail already. So to understand spiritual warfare correctly is to understand that this spiritual warfare should drive the Christian to engage all that God has given us to fight. And I believe much of God's allowance of the working of Satan, his allowing Satan to actually tempt us and work in such a way as so that you and I would exert all of our spiritual energy and might, that we would realize and understand the importance of exercising all that God has for us. If we understand spiritual warfare correctly, that is in fact what we will do. You notice in that section of Scripture that we're to do all that we can to stand, to engage all, to be all involved. Because what Satan would like us to do is to retreat. We don't find that much in the Bible. We don't find much about giving up, about quitting, about easing off, about pulling back. But see, that's often the temptation for us, isn't it? To just kind of ease off a little bit. Because What we find is if we fully engage the thing that God has given us and all the tools and weapons, we find out we really are in a battle. And as we engage in that battle, it's important to understand that our weapons of warfare are not carnal, but spiritual. They're not flesh because we're not fighting against flesh, but they're spiritual. And so as we go through this journey, often the mistake we make is to try to fight the enemy through our flesh, through our know-how, through our willpower, through our own strength, through our own intelligence, through our own knowledge. The Bible says it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. But see, as we begin to understand that the root of our problem, and this is often where the mistake is made, is that we think the problem is something other than a spiritual problem. But at the root of all of our problems, our struggles, our frustrations, our difficulties, our fleshly workings, behind all of that is spiritual hosts of wickedness looking to work on areas of our flesh that is sinful. And therein lies the struggle, doesn't it? Man, these bodies, this flesh that's filled with sin that still is here. That Satan throws these arrows at us to try to get us to respond in a sinful way, in a fleshly way. And so all of this discussion about spiritual warfare should drive us then to handle our lives and our difficulties, our struggles, and all of our situations in a spiritual way. Because our problem is a spiritual problem. And the answer is spiritual. The answer is our spiritual weapons. So let's look at this last section of dealing with the armor of God. Verse 18. Notice the passion here from Paul as he's writing this, inspired by God. Notice the passion, the earnestness here. He says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. He's all in, isn't he? He's all about running his race with joy. He's all about fighting the spiritual battle. His life is all about this warfare. And that's what it means to be a Christian. That's what it means to be a soldier, a warrior for Jesus Christ. It means that we're all in this thing. And before we continue with this discussion, we need to ask ourselves, this is rhetorical again, Don. We need to ask ourselves, am I all in? Have I made that step? And I'm not talking about being saved, because we can't even make the step until we're saved. But I'm talking about getting to a place in our life where we've decided that we're all in, that for me to live is Christ. And we come to that place. See, oftentimes we're at a place where we want to go to heaven and we kind of want to do some church things, but I don't know about that all-in thing and this war thing. But if that's our condition, we've already lost. And we are set up to be manipulated, controlled, and dominated by Satan the rest of our life. Because we are not having the weapons that will make us successful to fight and live the life of the Spirit. So the first thing is we need to decide and come to a place. And this is a place where you and I actually say, for me to live is Christ. I'm all in. I'm all about living my life for Christ, surrendering to Him. If we're not there, we've lost. The devil has us. He's manipulated us. He's controlling us. And our life is going to sail away in a direction that we don't want to go. But today, if we've not come to that place, we can say right now, right here, for me to live is Christ. We can choose this day who we will serve. And that's the first step. As we do that now, we can look at verse 18 and then begin to understand Christianity is a whole lifestyle. That's why it's called a walk. Because it's a life direction and a life flow. After we get saved, then our whole life after that, it's considered a walk. Our walk. How's your walk? How's your walk doing? It's because it's our life in Christ now. And so we see here this final petition of Paul. Notice again, verse 18. Praying always. So in order to be successful, we have to be a people that are praying always. Now, what exactly does that mean? Praying is our communication with God. It's our ability to speak to Him and to have Him speak to us. It's our ability to hear and understand Him, and it's our opportunity to go to Him. It's relational, it's face to face, and it's that relationship that we are to walk in. That's why He says that we're to be praying always. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17 also says that, to pray without ceasing. Now what that means is that we're to be always working and living and doing the things that we do with our perspective of God in view and the understanding that He is with us. That our relationship with Him face to face in a fellowship type of way, a way of communion, is to be our whole lifestyle. And so we're out doing our thing, whatever that is, and whatever we're doing, it's always with the conscious presence of God before us, and in a way, and in the opportunities that we're communing with Him. Dialoguing, asking, receiving. Just like we would in a human relationship. But yet, God goes with us wherever we are. So it's that constant communication with Him. That constant face-to-face lifestyle that we live. And see, here's where we understand that this is a lifestyle. This is a whole life that's lived out in relationship, in dialogue, in presence, and in fellowship with God, whatever we're doing and wherever we go. And that's why the Bible discourages us from sinning and blatantly living our life loosely, because as we do that, we are involving Christ in our activity. The Bible speaks of sexual immorality and how we're joining Christ with whoever that person is that we're being sexually immoral with. Now, that takes Christianity to a whole other level, doesn't it? It's not external. And we like those verses where it says, God will be with us. Go, and God will be with us. But maybe we don't like that when there's things we want to do that we probably think God wouldn't like that. But when we need His help, we like it in those situations. But if we're a Christian here, we take God with us wherever we go and whatever we're doing. Now, the good part about that is if we're all in and we've decided to live our life for Christ, then now whatever situation we're in, whenever we're in a pickle, whenever we're in a difficult spot, a troublesome area, whenever we're confused and trapped and don't know where to go or to turn to, God is our ever-present help in a time of need. And He is available to us to speak with, to dialogue with, to talk to communicate with. But see, this is the lifestyle of a believer. That we're always communicating with God, always living our life in sync with Him, always living our life with Him involved in it. And that's the beauty and the wonder of Christianity, that it's Christ in us, the hope. It's Him involved in our life in an internal way inside of us. And so this whole notion of Christianity being this external religion is unfortunately very wrong. Christianity is Christ in us. And so He says in regards to this spiritual battle, in regards to this attack of Satan upon our life, He says, now live our lives not separate from the reality that Christ is with us everywhere. To be in constant touch with Him, communication with Him, to see His face, to factor Him in every situation and every place of our life, that He's with us, that He's holding our hand, He's cheering us on, He's strengthening us, He's giving us all that we need for every situation. So when we understand that, now we know what it means to be a Christian. That our life is in Him. That in Him we move and breathe and have our being. And so to deny that and to try to live our life separate from the reality of the presence of Christ is to fail in our understanding of spiritual warfare, is to give in to Satan and is to be defeated by the enemy. So praying always is our opportunity to constantly be in communication with Him. Now, it doesn't mean that we can always, in the way we understand prayer, be praying. We don't want to be talking to our husbands or wives and they're talking and we're praying out loud while they're trying to communicate with us. What was that? I don't know. I was praying. I didn't hear anything you said. But I'm going to keep praying because I'm supposed to be praying and not stopping. But see, what it really means is that we're just constantly living in communication with God, in His presence, face to face, relationally with Him, and in every situation, we're keeping in touch, we're dialoguing with Him when appropriate. Doesn't mean we always have to pray out loud, but it means that we're in constant association and connection with Him in fellowship. But see, that's the cool thing about God being alive, a living God, that we don't follow external rules, but we live with the dynamic of the presence of God in every situation of our life. Now, if we understand that, then we're on our way. If we understand that we've pretty much taken care of every situation, because now we're living our life as unto the Lord. But do you see how you have to be all in? Do you see how some churches can be set up? So that's difficult even to do. Some churches are not even set up to encourage that. They're set up in such a way where they encourage anything but that sort of thing. That even if somebody walked in and wanted to meet God and find God and dialogue with God and live in the presence of God, they would have a hard time doing that. Because the mistake that's often made, and we'll touch on this in a second, the mistake that's often made is the incorrect view of what it means to be a Christian. And that is an epidemic. That is a plague that Satan has put a black mark on and caused a sickness within the church, getting the church to think that it's more about the things that they do and the external things and getting together and just socializing and having all these programs and attracting people through clever schemes, missing the power and the dynamic of changed lives and real conversions in Christ. So you have maybe millions of people walking around and thinking they are saved simply because they go to church, not really having a face-to-face relationship with Jesus Christ that they are enjoying on a daily, regular basis. It's a lot different in here than what we see out here. Have you ever noticed that? And that's why I believe many of the things that go on in Christianity that are not in here can only happen because people are not in here. Imagine some churches that are outwardly Christian. I'm not judging their salvation or anything. I'm just saying a lot of things I see are different than I see in here. But imagine if some of those churches, the pastor came out and put his Bible on the pulpit, actually started reading it. Line by line, verse by verse, precept upon precept, you would not see the same things that you would see in those churches. Because this Bible would be an indictment to the things that go on in those type of churches. But isn't it true? We often gauge and measure success, church success, by worldly measures. And what we would deem as a successful church is measured on worldly measurements and not on what God says is a successful church. And I believe the root and the most indicting place that we find a church failing is in the area of prayer. Praying always. He goes on to say, with all prayer. That's a lot of alls already in this chapter, or in this verse. But do you see how it's important to be all in with all prayer at all times? He's saying there's different types of prayer. And he's saying that God has given us corporate prayer, private prayer, intercessory prayer. That's where we intercede or pray directly for others. There's thankful prayer, praiseful prayer where we praise God, thank Him. There's prayer out loud. There's prayer quietly. You notice that we're to use all the resources that we have. And you know, we've been discussing the importance of the instead of ministry. And what we find here is one of the best ways to instead of is prayer. See, the instead of ministry is great because when the devil starts to work on us, instead of just not doing what he's trying to tempt us to do, which doesn't work, instead of that, we're to do a spiritual activity in place of it. One of the ways I found that works the best is whenever the devil prompts me to sin or throws a fiery dart in my head to do something that God doesn't want me to do or to think something God doesn't want me to think, I take that thought captive, I put it on death row, and I don't just leave it there, but now I start praying. Satan's temptations are a spark for me to begin prayer. You know what's great about that? I can do that anywhere, anytime, any place. You know, sometimes we may not be able to have our Bible. Sometimes we don't have Don and Misha with us to sing praise songs. That would be nice if we can have them where, being tempted, start singing a song. Sometimes we can't do that. But see, we can pray anywhere, anytime, any place. And when we're praying, we're in the Spirit. And when we're in the Spirit, we're not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. So that's how you do it. It's fantastic. It works. But see, use Satan's darts as an initiation of the spiritual activity. Prayer is a very good one. And he says now, we should be praying at all times. See how this works? See, Satan's actions towards us will actually, if understood correctly, cause us to walk in the Spirit if we, instead of responding to the flesh and the temptations of the enemy, will then do a spiritual activity like prayer. It now becomes a lifestyle. So that we're praying constantly, in touch with God constantly, invoking His power, thanking Him, praying for other people. And now that just doesn't become something we do on Sundays or Wednesday nights. This is our whole life now. But when it's our whole life, now we're walking in the Spirit. And when we're walking in the Spirit, we're not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. But see, you have to replace. You have to instead of. Otherwise, it ends up being willpower in a lot of instances. And willpower doesn't work. But you know the great thing about the instead of ministry? There's not willpower involved at all. There's not willpower. All you do is just start praying every time you're tempted. Every time the devil throws a dart, just start praying. There's no willpower involved in that. It's just replacement. If you won't pray every time you're attacked, it's not a problem with your ability to resist. Resistance isn't the problem there. You know what the problem is there? Submission. Did you say that? So nice. Somebody said that. The problem is with submission. When I'm tempted, if I will not replace that temptation with a spiritual activity like prayer, it's a submission issue now. That's different, isn't it? Now, in reality, we don't want what God wants. That's different, isn't it? It's not that we can't have what God wants. And it's possible that many of our sins boil down to that. We really if broken down to its lowest common denominator, we really don't want what God wants. That's a submission issue. The first step in that situation is to fall on our knees before God and submit and allow Him to have lordship over every area of our life. Because now it becomes a lordship problem, a control problem. That's different, isn't it? So the problem is not a resistance problem. I'm thinking about James chapter 4, verse 17. I'm thinking about this. When we're attacked, submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you, and what? Draw near to God. See, that's how it all breaks down. That's the flow chart for you flow chart people. Do we have any flow chart people here today? I see that hand. Biddle. Flow chart guy. Are you a flow chart guy, Hugh? You seem like a flow guy. Yeah. There's a nap for that. But you see, here's the deal. James 4:17. This is the whole summary of this whole. This is the technical part of, or the anatomy of, how you and I continue to walk in the Spirit when we're attacked. Submit to God. See, if we haven't done that yet, then that just means that we really want what our flesh and the devil wants instead of what God wants. We don't want what God wants, really. But see, if we really do want what God wants, we really have surrendered those areas to God. And remember, probably most of the things you don't like about your life, about yourself, probably most of those are spiritual things. Probably. And the answer is always the same. Submit that to God. If you've done that with your heart and just say, God, I want what you want. I want you to be the Lord of this area. The next step is to resist the temptation. Now, this is where we can make the mistake of getting into willpower. Just, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. But see, if you forget that resisting will automatically happen if we draw near to God. See, that's the important part. And the best way, or one of the best ways, is through prayer. And now we're in the Spirit. Now we're not in the flesh. Now we're having power. Now we're having success in our Christian life. And this is a constant thing. This is how it works, constantly. We'll see that in a second. So praying always with all prayer. Be lavish with prayer. Throw it out there. But watch this. With all prayer and supplication. Supplication is kind of a subset of prayer. It's a certain type of prayer. This is where you're praying for needs. This is where you're praying for specific things. This is where you're boiling it down to those specific things. But see, I want to warn you on this. See, sometimes we may have a problem, a temptation, a situation in our life that's causing problems, and we pray and pray and pray and pray and pray and pray and pray about it. But it's all we can think about. And the praying makes us think about it more. But see, there has to come a time where it's not just the activity of praying. See, you know how you can do that? Just that going through the motions of prayer, the activity of prayer, and thinking the actual activity is going to solve your problems. You have to get to a place where you actually believe. Do you see that? See, we can turn prayer into a ritual, right? We can have beads that we rub, and I don't know how exactly that goes, but we rub them and we do all these certain program prayers and stuff, and that can be a ritual. But see, when we pray, we have to pray believing. See, we have to cash the check. We have to come to a place where we pray and then we believe and then we get up and we walk in that power and strength of the Lord as forgiven people, as people who God has answered our prayers. See, that's important. We can't just keep praying and going, man, I don't think God's going to do anything. I don't think He can help me. I don't think He's powerful or strong enough to do it. Because when we're doing that, we're really believing the devil. See, we have to pray in power, knowing that if we ask anything in God's name, that He will do it. And that means that our prayers are prayers for things that He wants, that He will do already, because we want what He wants, because James chapter 4, verse 17 says the first step is to surrender and submit to God. So when we surrender and submit to God, now we want what God wants, so our prayers are in line with what God wants to do already. And so when we're praying, God will do what we ask Him to do, because they're in alignment with His will. That's good stuff right there. That's exciting. So those problems that we have, the things that we don't like about our life that we've been trying to change that are so difficult, the things that we don't have victory in and that we fail and stumble in over and over again, well, God wants to take those out of our life too. And He will. But see, we can't make prayer, we can't make it a ritual. Remember, it's face to face with God, and we're asking Him, personally, God, help me in this. And He'll say, okay, just surrender it to me. Submit it to me. And we do, and we submit it to Him. And then when the devil comes and tempts us, we don't say okay to the devil because we surrendered it to God. But instead, we begin to pray. We thank Him. We praise Him. We pray for our brothers and sisters. Now we're walking in the Spirit and not fulfilling the lusts of the flesh. Now we're enjoying the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. All that's going on in here. There's a power. And then we're walking with the Lord. That's a constant thing. It's not a one-time deal. Because now this is our life. This is our lifestyle. This is who we are. And now we're becoming spiritual people. Now there's a dynamic in our life, a power in our life. There's something tangible. There's something evident. The root of the righteous will bear much fruit. There's a promise to us that fruit, some, let's go hundredfold fruit, will just be pouring out of our life. But this is the mechanics of that. I don't know if you've ever thought about how that all works out. That's how it works. And it's a constant deal. Now, praying always with all prayer and supplication. That's now we're specifically praying for specific things, and then we're trusting in the Lord with those specific things in the Spirit. I'm glad He put that in there. That's very important, isn't it? These prayers that we pray and the way we relate to God personally, face to face, is by the Holy Spirit. Now, we have plenty of examples. I touched on that a little bit earlier about how we can even make prayer a fleshly thing. The Pharisees did that, right? They did it, which is really ironic, so that people would think more highly of them and think how spiritual they were and how great they were. The ironic thing about that is prayer is an act of us saying that we are absolutely no good and nothing in and of ourselves and can do nothing, so we need your help. That's what prayer is. And to make that into some sort of weird way that we would get people to look at us in a special way is kind of weird, to be honest with you. But He says, pray in the Spirit. Now, He says that because now, so far, we're in this understanding of prayer is face-to-face communication with God. We're constantly in communication, constantly in touch, constantly seeking Him, listening to Him, telling Him about our situation, asking for His help, thanking Him, praying for other people. And this is our lifestyle now. But as we do this in the Spirit, this is now how we begin to live spiritual lives. There's nothing more spiritual than praying to God face to face. We don't need to make this any more than it really is, but just to say, when we are born again and we have internal longings to want to know God and communicate with Him, which every born again believer should have, and if we don't, there's a serious problem there. Because when we're born again, that means the Spirit of God is born inside of us. And what does the Spirit of God want to do? Wants to do spiritual things. Wants to communicate. That's what the Trinity does, right? God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, they're all interacting, fellowshipping, communicating, vibing in tune with each other, all that stuff. And then we get saved. And then we get put into that whole relationship. That's pretty wild. We get grafted into this relationship that God the Father has with God the Son. And that God the Son has with God the Holy Spirit. And here comes little us, and we get born again, and now we get into all that. Us and Him, Him and us. That's pretty tight, wouldn't you say? And now, it's just a matter of operating in that relationship. And how do we do it? We do it by the Spirit. What does that mean? That means if we have the Holy Spirit living in us, the Holy Spirit is doing the thing that the Holy Spirit does. And that's interacting with the Godhead, the Father and the Son. So as that's happening, we just go along with that. The Spirit prompts us to pray, and I find that when we ask to be filled with the Spirit or baptized in the Spirit or overflowing with the Spirit, those sort of things, that God would pour His Spirit out in us, I find personally that much of what happens is this intense desire to pray more often. To pray for people, to pray for my family, to pray for the church, to pray for my situation, and this constant prayer. It's interesting. And it shouldn't be that interesting, I guess, when you think about that's pretty much what's happening in the Trinity. This communication's going on. So praying in the Spirit now means that we're not mechanically, ritualistically praying, but that we're face with God, praying, talking to Him, and the Spirit inside of us often prompts us what to say, when to say, how to say it. And now we're communicating with God, the Spirit, through us, and we're allowing that to happen. And as that is happening, there is just this amazing power and interaction and dynamic that happens when the Holy Spirit is praying to the Father and the Son through us. He gets us involved in that. That a lot of people will say, well, why pray? What's the purpose of prayer? It's because God wants to involve us in what He's doing. And as He involves us in what He's doing, now we get to enjoy the benefits and the blessings of being a Christian, of being part of the team, of being included in the work of the Godhead. He grafts us in and allows us to do that. So we say, well, why pray? God's going to do it anyway. Well, we find plenty of places in the Bible where things would not happen if people did not pray. Plenty of places. And I think, I have often thought, what is actually happening when we pray? I don't know if I have all the answers, but I think a big part of that, and what is really important for believers, is that now we are participants of the activities of the Godhead. Grafted in, partaking, And as believers, we need that. That's important. It's important that we're involved. And God wants us to be involved. So why would anybody who's a Christian not want to do that? Why would anybody who's a Christian rather have programs and techniques and rituals and pre-programmed ways of doing things, written down prayers, prayer formulas, prayers of Jabez, prayers of all. Why would anybody want that? I want to pray to God face to face by the Spirit, communicating with Him, having the prayers of God on my heart and having the Holy Spirit pray through me and to the Father and getting me involved in the loop. Have you ever seen people write down their prayers? And forgive me if it's one of you, but and Lord, help me. What does that say? Help me to overcome my sin. And Lord, I pray for Jillian, I think that says, or somebody. But see, this is exciting. And, you know, there's been so many quotes and prayer programs and, you know, ways to pray and how to pray and formulas to pray. And we have this opportunity to pray in the Spirit, to worship God, allowing the Holy Spirit to pray to the Father and the Son and the Trinity through us, and that we're included in that. That's the cool thing about prayer. But see, as a body, we were told earlier in our text where we're fighting against powers, against principalities, against rulers. Satan can't fight prayer. He has no answer for that. You know, the only thing that he has is to prevent us from praying. He can do that if we listen to him. But when we're praying by the Spirit, he has no answer for that. There's nothing he can do in that situation. He's dead. He's a dead duck. When we pray, and we can do that at all times, with all prayer and supplication, now we're walking in the Spirit, and he has no answer for that. The devil can't fight prayer. He has no answer for that. And that's why I believe Jesus said, "My house shall be a house of prayer." Because in order to, and I believe in this area, Satan has a foothold. There's a power here. There's a specific demonic force over our area which is causing people to believe incorrectly about God and about religion. And so some might say, well, the answer is to sort of back off on the Bible and prayer and be more seeker-friendly. Make it so people can be leave happy and be just entertained and feel good about themselves and let them leave to just, well, they'll want to come back, you know? Let them leave church, maybe, you know, give them a few donuts, and I definitely don't have a problem with donuts, but I'm just saying, let's do all we can so that they can have the best experience where they really don't connect with God that much. They won't say that outwardly. So let's have the greatest kids program ever. Let's have people who will jump through hoops for our kids. Let's have games, and let's have treats, and let's go places and entertain them to death. Like, our kids really need that, right? I don't know about your kids. My kids don't need more entertainment. They do just fine there. But do you see how Satan has been successful? The only thing that's going to work, if our church is going to be successful in penetrating the darkness and winning souls to Christ and getting them to think correctly about God through the Bible, it's going to be through prayer. That's the only way. It's not going to be through my cleverness, through your cleverness, through me going to a church growth seminar where I can learn how to grow a church through man-made techniques and worldly seminars. where I can learn that we can advertise in the paper if we put $100 under one of the chairs and put it, if you come to church today, you might find $100 under your chair. That's what they learn. That's what that happens. Have you seen that? Who's seen that? I've seen that. I saw one where a Super Bowl, is there anything under there? They put Super Bowl tickets underneath the chair and they had great attendance that day. Is that going to really do the work of God? See, just as we finish here, if we're going to do anything at this church, it's going to be through prayer. That's it. But if we will be a people that will understand the things that we've talked about, understand the opponent that we're against, and understand that we are guaranteed victory if we will pray. Personally, in our own lives, personally, we will be successful if we will pray, if we will take prayer seriously, if we will pray at all times for all things. And as a church body, if we're going to be effective in this area, it's going to be through prayer. I'll plead with you. I'll get on my knees if you want me to and ask you. Be a part of the corporate prayer opportunities in our church, please. Be a part of what God wants to do. And I don't know about you, but I know for a fact God did not move me out here 1,500 miles away, I think, for nothing. To enjoy a better lifestyle. To enjoy the scenery and the beauty and the barbecue. And He did not move me out here for that. He moved me out here, and I believe you are all here so that we will be a light shining in darkness, that we will overturn the direction and the way things are going, and that the power of God and true salvation that's found in the Word by faith will begin to happen here and catch on like wildfires. But it's not going to happen any other way unless you and I will get together corporately, take advantage of the opportunities, and pray as a church, but also in our own individual lives, if we will be a praying person. Wouldn't you love if on your tombstone, you know how, have you ever heard of Praying Hyde? That guy? There's a guy named Praying Hyde, if you ever heard of him. How about if on your tombstone is Praying Shay? Praying Adam? That would be pretty cool. How about if we're just known as the praying church? How about that? How about if we're the church that is known for our intercession, for our petitioning, for our praying? How about if we, in our personal life, make it a point to be praying for people? You want to see somebody kind of get blown away? Hey, can I pray for you? Huh? Really? Right here? Yeah. Let's do it. You want to be different? You want to be unusual? You want people to really understand and know the power of God? Start to pray for people. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, just pray for them. You'd be amazed what happens. So, did we finish? Being watchful to this end. With all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Basically, don't give up. This is a lifestyle thing. The devil will tempt us to quit. We need to be in tune spiritually, awakened spiritually, understand the things that are going on in our life, in our world, in our families, in our church. Be in tune with the Spirit, watching our lives, watching the things that are going on, and continuing in perseverance, never giving up, but having a lifestyle of prayer, praying always with all prayer and supplication. Now this becomes our lifestyle. We are people who pray. With that segue, let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you that you've made it possible for us to pray. Lord, let us be greedy in that endeavor, taking every opportunity to pray, Lord. And Lord, if anybody here, God, is not where they should be, Lord, if they've strayed from you and living for the world and they're sort of playing ball in the devil's court, Lord God, help them, Lord Jesus. Help them come to a place where they're all in you, Lord. I pray for anybody who's sitting on the fence, anybody who is eyeballing things that they shouldn't, anybody who is emotionally involving them in relationships that they shouldn't, in habits that they shouldn't, in endeavors that they shouldn't. I pray, Lord, that they would understand what the devil is trying to do to them. And right here, right now, they would surrender all of their life to you 100% and begin to live a lifestyle of living for you and in you and through you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and worship the Lord. God bless you guys.